And away we go. Scott Spears back with you here. Hour number two, November 21st, 2019. 11/21/19, 7 days away from the Big Turkey Day. Now, this week we have been so lucky to have great guests. What a week we have had. We started out Monday with one of the dear friends of this program, legendary actor, best known for his role of Lou Grant on The Mary Tyler Moore Show. Ed Asner has won more Emmys than any other male in the history of the Emmy Awards. Also, people remember Ed Asner from the movie you see a lot this time of year, Elf with Will Ferrell. He's Santa Claus in that movie. Also, he's getting a whole new generation from being the voice of Carl in the Disney movie Up, and Ed just turned 90 years old last Friday, and he came on the show Monday, and he was a lot of fun. So we had Ed Asner on Monday. Yesterday, we had Pat Carroll, legendary actress, best known for her voice, voiceover of the character of Ursula in The Little Mermaid, and this month is 30 years to the day, 30 years to the month that The Little Mermaid was released. So we had Pat Carroll on, who's also an Emmy Award winner yesterday, Emmy and Grammy Award winner, by the way, to talk about the 30 years of The Little Mermaid, which debuted in November 1989, and also to talk about Disney Plus, which is a great new thing that was released, I believe, last week or earlier this month, which has all the great Disney programs and movies on it. And then tomorrow, we're going to be joined in this hour, the 9 o'clock hour, by Ashley Williams. Do you like the Hallmark Christmas movies? I know a lot of you love the Hallmark Christmas movies. And this coming Saturday, November 23rd, there will be a brand new Hallmark Christmas movie debuting, Holiday Hearts. Ashley Williams is the star of that movie, and tomorrow morning, Ashley Williams will be with us during this time slot. Now, how do you top all that off? Well, here's how you do it. On Thursday, we have been following this really for years now. There has been, well, one of the most indelible people in the history of our culture, of course, has been Fred Rogers, the host of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, for well over 30 years. And over the past few years, there has been so much interest in Mr. Rogers, with Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood continuing on PBS, and then a documentary being released last year on Mr. Rogers, a tremendous documentary that I know a lot of people have watched on PBS. And then there was a Mr. Rogers stamp that was introduced by the U.S. Post Office, and I was lucky enough to go to WQED in Pittsburgh with Adam and Terry and cover that event. And the man who portrayed the postman on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood for well over 30 years, David Newell, Mr. McFeely, has been here on three different occasions, I believe, and just the nicest man in the world. Everybody loved him here. We loved having him here. So there's a lot of interconnection. He was in the Popcorn Festival twice. He did a sweater drive here. A lot of interconnection between this station and Mr. Rogers over the last 5 years. Now, we have covered all these events. We've even had Tom Janot on this show. We've had people who were involved with Mr. Rogers, and it's just been a great ride. The culmination of that, I say all that to say this, that A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, starring Tom Hanks, a movie based on the relationship between Fred Rogers and Tom Janot, opens in movie theaters tomorrow, November 22nd. Now, this is technical. Tonight, there is a special screening of this movie, November the 21st. Now, here's what I'm going to do. Here in Marion, you have the Republic Movie Theater. Now, the special screening tonight of A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood will be at 7:15 p.m. Now, I'm going to give you two other theaters that are popular in the area. Tonight, Cinemark 14 in Mansfield Town Center, the movie will be shown at 4:30, 7:25, 10:20 today. Polaris in Columbus, 4:30, 5:30, 7:25, 8:55, 10:15 today. Thursday, November 21st. Now, tomorrow, the official debut of this movie, here in Marion at the Republic Theater, it will be shown at 1:15, 3:45, 6:45, and 9:05. And remember, here in Marion, admission for pretty much everybody at the Republic Theater, which is in the Marion Center Mall, where we used to be, where David Newell came and visited us, I think all three times. He's never been to the new studios here downtown, but that's where it all takes place, the Republican Theater in the mall. $5, I believe, for just about everybody who buys a ticket. And again, tomorrow in Cinemark 14 in Mansfield, and the Kenton Theater, which I know a lot of people go to on the weekend, Friday. Tomorrow, the movie will be shown there at 6:45 p.m. and 9:15 p.m. I feel like one of those numbers that people used to call to get the show times of movies, but for this movie, we are glad to do it. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, starring multiple Emmy Award-winning actor Tom Hanks as Fred Rogers. You can't go wrong there. And now we go to the guest today. How about that? After I'm windy and say all that for about 7 minutes, our guest today, nobody knew Fred Rogers any better. He was his friend. He was his co-star. He was his publicity man for the better part, or more than 30 years. Not the better part, more than 30 years. And he is a dear, dear man, and has seen this movie in New York, has seen this movie in Pittsburgh already, and is going to see it again tonight. What a pleasure, as it always is, to welcome to these microphones the legendary Mr. McFeely, David Newell. David, how are you?
Well, I'm fine, Scott. Thank you, and speedy delivery. Here we are. Here we are again.
here we are again. But really, the culmination of this Mr. Rogers celebration that's been going on the last 2 or 3 years.
Yes, you're right. There's even PBS did a documentary hosted by Michael Keaton. And as you probably know, Michael Keaton ran the trolley on our program before he became a superstar. So there's a lot of connections that are going on now, and you know, I wouldn't even call a revival. I think Mr. Rogers has been around forever. The program, since Fred passed away in 2003, the program remained on PBS for years and years and years, and it's still on PBS on weekends. But it's now available to families by the PBS Kids streaming channel. There's a streaming channel, and Mr. Rogers is available on that, because I get a lot of questions. When can we see it? Why don't they bring it back? Well, it's back, and you can see it anytime you want to on the streaming channel. Plus, Amazon.com has it. So it's probably more available now than it was in its heyday. But I've been helping promote the film in different ways, and I've been helping promote Fred's legacy for the last 15, 16 years, so I feel I'm still delivering in the neighborhood.
Absolutely, David. You have seen this movie. You've seen it in Pittsburgh. You've seen it in New York. First time you saw it, what did you think?
Boy, that's a question that I have a hard time answering. The first time I saw it was this past Sunday in New York City. They had a special premiere of the film, and it was the media turned out in droves, and it was quite an event, and it was so much going on that it was hard to really, by the time you got into the theater, at least for me, I had to settle down a little bit. You know, there was so much excitement about the film, about Fred's legacy, and I settled down, and I am still processing it again. And I saw it last night too. Now, your listeners should know that it's not a biography of Fred Rogers. It's rather a story about, when you mentioned his name, Tom Jeannot, who you spoke with on your program. He came to our studio on assignment to do a story on Fred Rogers for Esquire magazine, and you would say, well, of all magazines, you know, Esquire, but he did, but he came begrudgingly, and he didn't really want the assignment. He was an investigative reporter, and he didn't want to do puff pieces. All this is in the film. Well, to make a long story short, the film dwells on the relationship and the friendship between the reporter and Fred, and it changed the reporter's life. Tom Janot has probably told you this when you spoke with him on air, but that's the story. And it's a fascinating film. They start out with the concept of it being a Mr. Rogers program. Tom Hanks comes in, as Mr. Rogers does, and talks to his audience, shows some pictures, one being a picture of Mr. McFeely and some other neighbors, and then shows a picture of Tom Janot Lloyd. They call his name Lloyd. He's by the name of Lloyd in the film. And that's how the movie begins. I think your audience will find it intriguing. I did. And they had some poetic license. They changed some events. They changed his arrival in Pittsburgh. It was different, but a little out of order, but everything they dwell on, most of it happened. There's poetic license. But the drama of the story between Tom Janot, the author, and his father in this film is the main focus. And Fred Rogers helps Tom Janot and his family sort of come to, come to terms with each other's anger. That's the best way I can explain it to you, but I find it fascinating. It's not what I expected, but I found it fascinating. So, is that sort of answer your
question?
That's
it. Well, not what you expected in what way?
I didn't expect some of there's some intense drama at the wedding of Tom Janot's sister. This is all in flashback. He and his father get into a fight because they just didn't get along. There was a very, I don't want to give all the plot away, but that sort of starts starts the movie going. And you would think, and I knew this was going to, I knew the plot before I saw the movie, but I didn't expect, I didn't know that they're going to put in it's not a fight, it's just one punch, but still, you would think in a movie about Mr. Rogers, you wouldn't see a punch thrown at all, right?
Well, and this was an interesting question that I think we all wondered while this movie was being made, because even though it is based on a true story, that's not, we've seen other movies go that way. Mm-hmm. Being somebody who knew Fred Rogers, what do you think he would have thought of this movie, honestly?
You know, I think, that's hard to say. No one can ever get inside somebody's thoughts, but I think he would have loved it. I think he would. You have to see it in its context. I'm pulling out separate scenes, and maybe that's not quite fair. It might throw you off somewhat, but if you see everything I described in context, it grows too. Tom Janot or Lloyd in the movie, he slowly comes around. You know, it's not a happy right off of the sunset, but it is. It has a very peaceful ending. Let's say it's quite. It's a lovely movie, and it almost is an art film in a way. But yet, Tom Hanks carries the film, but also Matthew Reese, who's plays Lloyd, the Tom Janot character, is excellent. They're all excellent. Excellent. If there's any fans out there who watch this television series, This Is Us, it's a pretty big popular series. Susan Watson, who plays the wife of one of the characters on the program, is in the movie. She plays the wife of Tom Janot at Lloyd. She's excellent. It's just, and one of the best actors I know of today, I recommend your listeners to go see it. Now, it's not a film that you would take a 3 or 4 year old to. It's a drama with comedy too. It's a very interesting mix of emotions and very thoughtful. Fred and Tom Jeannot, Lloyd, have very interesting conversations about emotions and angry feelings and so forth. And the one thing, a lot of people, I'm giving this as a little piece of advice, because a lot of people, when the movie's over, I never like to do this, but it happens a lot. When the movie's over, people start packing up, gathering their belongings, and start leaving the theater as the credits are rolling. Well, that's, you know, most people don't care about the credits. I do, because I'm in the business, but I stay to the bitter end always. But in this case, do not leave before the credits end, because there's a very touching little scene, a little song that they'll see. That's what I'll say.
That's a good tease, David. It's interesting because Rolling Stone, very strict with their movie reviews, and the review is out in Rolling Stone, and here's what it is: A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood review, a movie as open-hearted as Mr. Rogers. Tom Hanks moves past imitation to find Mr. Rogers' nurturing soul. 4 out of 5 stars. That's a pretty good review.
Yes, it is. You know, that's exactly, I should have added that. They said it perfectly. He does, you've seen all of the parodies of Fred Rogers over the years. I think every comedian, every radio show host, you know, the morning wake-up shows, everybody has done some sort of a takeoff on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. So to play him by an actor is a very delicate situation, because you can go into parody very easily, a la Eddie Murphy, although he's doing it intentionally to be funny. But Tom Hanks gets the essence of Fred. Now, when you're watching the movie, you're aware, at least I am, that it's Tom Hanks. But you forget it. It's a different perspective you're watching it. I know it's Tom Hanks, but it's Fred. If that makes sense to you. What you just read is very true. He goes beyond any kind of imitation, but it's a very thin line for actors, and he does it quite well. And I hope somebody's up for some sort of a nomination. I hear tell that maybe Tom Hanks would be up for a supporting actor. Now, this is just all hearsay, and it's not anything hasn't been released yet. But this is just my hope, I guess, my hopeful thinking that he would be nominated at least for a supporting actor, because the lead character is really the author. That's his story. But it's like visiting the Dalai Lama. That's my sort of analogy. That he goes and you know, spends an hour with the Dalai Lama of sorts. Now this is just my fantasy talking. And his life is put in order. Now it's nothing's that simple, but that's what it reminded me of is Fred being, and this is. Fred was that way. You could speak with Fred for an hour, talk with him about anything, and he would make you feel good about yourself. And even if you're talking about an idea that you might have for a program, or talking about, I think I would get this prop for the show rather than that one, and he would listen to you and give a reason why he thought it should be the other way. It's remarkable. It's hard to put it in words to give you and your audience the soothing support that Fred gave one when you talk to him. I mean, I can't even put it into words. But this comes through in the film. You know, it's not an action-packed film. If you like your movies, bang, 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 this is not the movie for you. But it's a thoughtful, loving movie that everyone should see, especially around now. With everything going on in the world and all the holidays coming up, it's the perfect film for adults. And it's really designed for the graduates. I call them graduates of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, people who grew up with Mr. Rogers. That is the audience for it. And that begins now in people in their 50s are the first wave of children who watch the program. So I'm anxious to get your reaction, Scott, when you see it. You can let me know by email or something when you see it.
I certainly will. I can't wait to see it. What's interesting, David, you working in television and working with Fred Rogers and knowing the star power of a Tom Hanks and a lot of publicity that this movie is getting, if you had to guess, what do you think the numbers, because a lot of movies live and die by that on the opening week numbers, where do you guess this will do? Well, what will we be talking about on Monday?
Boy, and I've been asking myself that question, and it sometimes scares me because I think, oh boy, I hope it gets a respectable, your listeners may not know that the industry measures things, and because it's a business, by the first week's gross or the overnight's gross, meaning how much it made in a certain period of time. And to be respectable, you have to make $50 million or so, depending on the budget of the film. And this film, I think we'll have a respectable showing. And I don't know the amount, but I bet it makes $38 million. I hope so. What do you think? Have you ever thought it through?
Well, I've been thinking about it, and I think the movies that it's opening against this weekend, I don't think there is huge competition. That helps.
Well, the huge one is
Frozen,
though,
right? It is it is Frozen weekend, so that might be the only trouble there.
And see, they were going to release this earlier too, and I wondered why they kept it back for Thanksgiving. And it is a Thanksgiving movie of sorts. It's a feel good movie. It has all the emotions in it. It runs the gamut, so to speak. And I wondered why they chose to open it against Frozen.
Well,
because the people who are Rogers graduates, as I call them, have children now who they'll probably take to see Frozen. They wouldn't take them to see this movie unless it was a movie for children about Mr. Rogers. So I don't know. I don't know. I think it'll do well. It's gotten terrific reviews. And Rolling Stone is not an easy, it has, there's some cynicism in Rolling Stone, you know, it's not it's a music rock magazine, and you wouldn't think that the two would mix, the Neighborhood and the rock, but that's interesting that what you read to me, and I've read glowing reviews. I haven't read a bad one yet. There's always going to be one, though, so I'm preparing myself. But, oh, by the way, when you go, there's a McFeely character in it. All the actors play everybody. Mrs. Rogers is portrayed by an actress. There's nobody from the program in it except their character. And McFeely makes a delivery, and Lady Aberlin sings a song. And there's a scene in a restaurant where Tom Hanks is talking to the author, and the director said to us when he filmed it, we were extras and cameo extras, I guess you call us, when Tom Hanks says this line, and the line is something like, think of the people who helped you as you were growing. That's what he says. Now, when Tom Hanks says that, everybody right in the first group of tables near Tom Hanks's table, you all stop eating and think about the people who helped you become who you are. And then the camera pans down two tables where I'm sitting along with some of my co-workers who've been there a long time, and there's a moment where you can see me contemplating. So your listeners aren't going to know, but you'll see me, because you've met me. You'll recognize me.
And the
other little caveat is that Joanne Rogers is with us. So you'll see a woman with some gray hair, lovely, sweet face. That's Joanne Rogers. So that's your assignment, to look for her in that restaurant scene and see the two of us, amongst some other people who worked there. I won't go into all the details of who they are, but they worked behind the scenes.
We're
lifers, as we call ourselves.
Well,
lifers.
I was so happy to hear that. I think we talked about that last time we talked, that you guys were going to be incorporated in some way, and that is such a nice thing. What was it like to see yourself up on the big screen in a Tom Hanks production?
Boy, I think, you know, it made me feel very proud to be associated with the whole, this is my 52nd year working with the company, because after Fred's death, the company, of course, continued on, and I stayed on. And it makes me feel very good. You know, I wouldn't have thought that I would be here 50-some years ago talking to you today about this movie when I started in 1967-68 season. I had no idea that I'd be here talking to you about this movie and, you know, how much it might make and how popular it'll be and how good it is. That was never in my mind. So, sitting in the movie, I think it was the last night's screening, I thought, wait a minute, boy, I've come a long way with this company and with Fred. And it made me feel very good. I guess that's you know, and it made me feel that my contribution, I guess it's just like the analogy would be a wheel with spokes. Fred being the hub, and all of us who help him along the way are one of the spokes. And I consider myself an important spoke in that wheel for these many years, and I'm very proud of that, because that one spoke missing would weaken the wheel. If that's a corny analogy, but you know what I mean.
I absolutely do. And I wanted to get this in, David, because tonight you will be hosting a special screening of the Mr. Rogers movie.
Similar to what you said, I heard your opening, and you were saying that some of the theaters in Marion and around your area are showing some screenings tonight. And that must be Sony's plan. They slowly release it out, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's for critics, so the critics can get a jump on getting their... I don't know. At any rate, there's a theater not far from our house who called me and asked me if I would... host this special screening. They're going to show it at 7, and the theater manager will introduce me and ask me questions, and I'll talk and take questions, and I brought some pictures along to sign afterwards, and so I'll probably see it for the third time tonight. But, you know, I find it fascinating, and again, back to your question about did I ever think that, you know, what did I think when I'm watching a Tom Hanks movie? I didn't think I'd ever be doing that, introducing this. I didn't think it would make the jump from television, where it's very popular, to the big screen. That's what gets me. I didn't see the connection that Fred Rogers and his message could make that leap. I didn't, but it did. And you know something? I spent years in PR on the neighborhood. And, you know, the program's not an easy program to publicize. Fred's messages are so pure and so... they're not... Fred is very low-key. They're low-keyed messages. And a lot of people never understood Fred's approach over the years and why he did this and why he took his sweater off and why he spoke so slowly and some of the things that he did on the program, it was almost taking each person by the hand and leading them through the concept of the program. In these past 2 years, as you mentioned earlier, the documentary and now this film has really interpreted that mission of Fred's. And I think more people now understand, oh, that's why. And they see the power behind this man, a very low-key power. He was the real thing. It wasn't an act. And that's what took people back, I think. I think they thought, oh, this is, what's the comedian's name who did Pee-wee Herman. Pee-wee Herman was a very funny man, but he was doing a parody of children's television. And I think a lot of people thought that, you know, they dismissed it as a nice little kiddie show in our program. But it is that, of course. But the depth behind what Fred wanted to get across, he wanted to use this medium that was selling cornflakes to kids. He wanted to use it for the positive messages that he could get through to families that can use them. And there's a song that he wrote, and I'm sure you've heard of it, called "What Do You Do With the Mad That You Feel?" About angry feelings and alternative ways that you can express your anger. That comes out in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood almost every day in some way. And that's very healthy, to give children alternative ways to deal with anger and their feelings. And Fred was a master at communicating that. It was, I think, a television genius. I don't think it, I know it.
I think
your listeners will see some of this coming out in this film. I'm rattling on here, so why don't you?
No, this is good. we appreciate it. It's always good when the guest talks more than I do. That's a good day, David. We like those type of guests.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I feel I'm taking away a question you could ask. Summing up what I just said, that this documentary introduced subjects that he dealt with more than dwelling on Fred's inner strength. This movie deals more on the inner Fred Rogers and his power, the power of quiet, in a way. Fred was not a man that would offer you his opinion. He would listen to yours, and that would prompt the discussion between two people. He was a quiet hero. Oh, I must say, too, the rationale to do the magazine on Esquire's part, which is a true story. They didn't make up that it was Esquire magazine did do a piece on Fred, and their theme of that issue was on heroes, and they considered Fred a hero, an American hero. But you'll see in the movie they started that to do a small piece of a paragraph in a story on many heroes, and it ended up being the hero. Fred ended up being the cover story, and it was 10,000 words. So that's the power that this reporter learned about Fred Rogers. It's remarkable. Fred was a remarkable man. You'd never met him, had you, Scott?
No, I never got that chance.
Okay, well, you've met him sort of by
osmosis. Yeah, it's I've met a lot of people who worked with him, and they all have the same opinion of the man, which is very interesting. And watching these documentaries, which were not done until recent times, where you could see him behind the scenes, so it's fascinating in that way.
Well, he was a fascinating character in the film. Fascinating, I say character because the author, and I think this happened in real life too, when Tom Janot in the movie, his name is Lloyd, started the piece. I think he thought he was going to do a little 400-word portrait. Well, he knew after a couple meetings with Fred that this was not going to, there was more there, much more, much deeper. This man had a, he couldn't explain him in 400 words. And I'm having a hard time, and I worked with him for 30 years trying to interpret Fred to you in a few sentences. It's, you can't do it.
Well,
you had to experience it. And on television, people who've seen him on television, that's Fred. He's not that much different off camera. He speaks a little faster. He's deliberate on television, and in real life, he spoke slowly, but not as much as he did on TV because it was for children. But the other thing, this whole saga began, the Esquire saga, when one day the phone rang in my office, and I, as you mentioned, I did public relations for the last 20 years of working with Fred. I would be the person who sort of was the gatekeeper. And the phone rang, and on the phone was a voice saying, my name is Tom Janot, and I'd like to do a piece for Esquire magazine on Fred Rogers. That's how it all began. And one thing led to another, and I set up an appointment for them to meet, and it just grew from there. And so going back to another question of yours that you mentioned, and that makes me feel very proud, because the Tom Janot was an investigative reporter, and he wrote some very revealing pieces for Esquire magazine. And I think there was some trepidation there on our part. But, you know, I took that chance, and I thought, Fred, this is what I knew of Fred. Fred will be able to handle it. And he did. You'll see as you go and watch the movie how he handled it. As I'm sitting here talking to you, I'm thinking about scenes, and more's coming to me. I have to see it again to really digest all of this, because I lived it. I lived a lot of those events that happened. As I mentioned earlier, some of it's poetic license. I don't know if the fight at the wedding ever took place in Tom Janot's life. In fact, it didn't. But I don't want to give too much away.
I do.
But it all works as a wonderful story. And Fred being the person who turns somebody's life around, according to the author. That's sort of it in a nutshell. And I recommend it highly for anybody who wants an intelligent film.
Absolutely. I do want to remind people. For people who want to see it, this film we're talking about, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, if you're in the Marion area, here's how you do it. It'll be at the Republic Movie Theater tonight, the big opening, 7:15 p.m. That's the theater in the Marion Center Mall where we were located for so many years. And if you can't make it out tonight, tomorrow is the official film opening, November 22nd, the weekend before Thanksgiving. It will be at the Republic here in Marion tomorrow, 1:15, 3:45, 6:45. And 9:05. And David, I want you to give them the time and the theater that you'll be at tonight, because really, Pittsburgh's only 3.5 hours from here. Who knows? Somebody might come.
Well, if they do, I hope they come up and say hello to me. It's at the Waterworks Cinema, Waterworks Cinema in Fox Chapel area. It starts at 7 o'clock tonight, and I'll be there before the film and during the film and after the film, meeting and greeting. But the theater manager is going to introduce me, and we're going to have a little conversation about the film and about my career and all of that. And then I guess they'll start the film maybe about 15 minutes later. And then afterwards, I brought some autographed pictures to sign, as I've done when I've made visits to your neighborhood. And I love. I love meeting people who grew up with the program. I learned so much about them and their family and how much the program meant to them. And they, everybody has their story about what the program meant to them. You know, and you know, I often wonder if a program, a television, like how, if I'm using this as a strange example, but does Hawaii Five-0 get these many stories? What the program meant to them? That's a fine program, but I bet it doesn't get emotion-packed stories told to the producers or one of the cast members about how it meant a lot to them.
Absolutely, I think
the neighborhood does. It really you should. Fred always said, "I wish when I meet people, I had a microphone because I hear the best stories off stage." You know, and it is remarkable some of the stories you hear and how the program in a way has supported, has brought families together in. And the letters that come in over the years, especially when friends, are just wonderful. It's in fact, there's a book out now, several books. Your listeners should check Barnes & Noble because there's a special section of all the books and videos that are available now on this anniversary of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
David,
are you still there?
I'm still here. David, we got about 6 minutes left here, and I want to ask you the question that everybody wants to know. Because nobody could ask it, nobody could answer this better than you, somebody who worked with Fred Rogers for over 30 years. The guy we will see up on the screen, Tom Hanks portraying, how close is that to the guy you knew?
Very close. It's maybe off 1%. And I think that's because I knew him so well, and I was with him every day working. There are some cadences in Tom Hanks's voice that aren't exactly what Fred would say, and maybe his pattern of speech would. And that's what's not the same, you know. But the essence is there. It's there. It is Fred Rogers, and the intensity. You'll see Fred had quite an intensity, and when you were talking to him, it just didn't, he would look at you. You had his full attention, and he seemed totally, for the moment, he was with the person he was with, totally absorbed in their story and interested in what they were saying. Whether it was something very serious in a family, or what you did on your summer vacation, he was with you. Didn't read or was on his computer as he was talking to you. In fact, here's an example. When I would go into his office and say, oh, could you do this interview or whatever, he would be working on something. He would stop. I would find a time, I didn't want to interrupt him, but I'd find an appropriate time to ask him questions. And he would stop, put down his pencil, the book, and take his glasses off and look at you straight in the eye and react to your question thoughtfully. And that he was always present with you. And also, this I find interesting, that Fred thought that, and I think I've told you this before, the space between the television screen and the person watching that screen, that space between the two is holy ground. And he thought, as producers of television, we have the responsibility to put the best we can on that screen. And that's the reason he's in television, because in the 50s, he saw what was on television for children. It was a lot of what he called slapstick, pie-in-the-face humor. Now, there's nothing wrong with slapstick. It's a form of entertainment, but not as a steady diet for children. That's what began. And, you know, that shows a respect for children and childhood. He didn't want them to see the Three Stooges every day as a as entertainment. He wanted to do something better with this medium. There's nothing wrong with the Three Stooges. That's fine. I'm not putting that down. I'm saying for young children, he came up with a program that he thought would be appropriate for that age group, and he did. And I think that's a wonderful analogy, that holy ground there, the responsibility that we all have in broadcasting, you as well as me and others. You know, the space between the listener at home and your microphone is holy ground, and what you do with it is very important.
We're all talking to one person.
And it sounds to me that you do so many interesting, thoughtful interviews with people that you don't hear every day either.
Well, I appreciate that, David. I really do.
Yeah, that's what I learned when I was visiting your station. You and the other people that I've met at your station have a respect for their audience. That's my take on it. And you have a love for what you're doing, and that comes across. I think you genuinely, Scott, genuinely enjoy talking to people, and I think that comes through that microphone. And I think that's what Fred's talking about, too, that space, although they can see him, they can't see you. That space between the microphone and the screen is holy ground, and others, have responsibility to put the best we can in that space. And to my estimation, that's what you're doing with talking to people of all walks of life that have something to share with others. So congratulations to you.
Well,
I think you're doing the world a service.
Well, that means a lot to me, David. I do want to get this in our last minute here. A beautiful day in the neighborhood again tonight here in Marion, 7:15 at the Republic Theater. Tomorrow, 1:15, 3:45, 6:45, 9:05. Call if you're not getting that from me right now. The big opening days tomorrow. It's Tom Hanks, the story of Mr. Rogers and Tom Janot. What a movie it is. You can also see it in Mansfield, at Cinemark, Polaris, the Kenton Theater will have it. Call ahead for showtimes. And our guest today has been a guy whose kindnesses to me over the years have been amazing. We have pictures of him in the studio on his three occasions here in full Mr. McFeely costume and in the popcorn parade and the sweater drive. There was no more fun than having David Newell here doing what he did for so many years on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And David, the only way to end this program, because I love the documentary, I do want to mention that, the Speedy Delivery documentary on David Newell, is I'm going to do what Mr. Rogers did to you on the last program in 2001 to sing the song that he wrote for you that you don't like to sing.
So you're going to play it?
No, I'm going to let you sing it for us right now.
Okay. It goes like, hold your ears if you don't like good singing. If you like good singing, you better hold your ears. If there's anything you want, if there's anything you need, McFeely's Delivery brings it to you here with speed. Yes, our Speedy Delivery is a Speedy Delivery. Speedy Delivery to you, Scott. There you go.
David, you're the absolute best. Thank you so much, and have a great time tonight.
Thank you, Scott. Speedy Delivery.
David Newell, how about that? Hey, the Mr. Rogers movie's out. And guess what? Our legend, Fred Rogers here in Marion, Charlie Evers, coming up in 10 minutes. Don't go anywhere. Ashley Williams tomorrow, Hallmark Hall of Fame. Come back to this channel. Don't go anywhere.
Clicking like.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 7225-4495, webpage crtmechanicals.com.